by any means. I'm glad Kyrie's not in the fold, and it was just funny because, and I don't want this to turn into kicking Ben Simmons because...
Why not? It's my favorite pastime.
I mean, we can't do that every single episode. We can't.
But I just do want to say all your feelings that you were feeling about Kyrie, I used to get on my hands and knees, pray to the gods that Ben Simmons was going to play for Australia. And now, when there was those rumors that he might be a part of the training camp this year, I was on my hands and knees praying that he wouldn't. I was like, lock him out. I couldn't think of anything worse for the team.
Welcome back to the Basketball Forever podcast. This is where we talk about the things that we don't post. I'm head of editorial here, Nick Jungfer. Joining me as always, Alex Sumsky. Hey, mate, it's been ages. Haven't seen you in forever.
It's been, yeah, forever.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit of a hiatus from the podcast, but it's good to, you know, take a break. New season ahead of us, and we're back in business.
Huge hiatus. I was away, then I get back. And then you're away. You just started your trip then.
Yeah.
You were away and with very good reason. You got down on one knee. Congrats again.
Yeah, wobbly knee.
Yeah.
In Malta, of all places.
Wobbly knee, and not just because of the surgeries, actually for a good reason.
No, this is actually a legit... This is a reason... This brings tears of happiness to my eyes, not
it did.
Pain and sadness.
There was even a beautifully produced video. Of course,
yes.
It's only fitting that the man who cooks up the videos for BF would cook up one for his own engagement.
Well, I had the camera set up, and funny thing is, I'm pretty sure this is on camera. And if it is, we're going to play it, we'll put it in the episode, audio for the audio part, and then video for everyone watching on Facebook. But I literally said, will you be my basketball forever?
What? No, you didn't.
I did. No,
in the moment. That's it. No, it's not.
How much you want to bet? Run it. Jordan, roll it. Roll it.
I wanted to know if you'd be my basketball.
Jordan's got his head in his hands.
He's got his head in his hands.
He's like, oh. It's the worst thing he's ever heard.
No, okay. Well, you know what? It's part of my DNA, mate. So
what you're saying is you ruined a special moment for Sam that she's dreamed about forever, probably.
It's on that SD card, just so you know. One we're recording on right now, I'm pretty sure we could find it somewhere there. So
I'm just relieved that, you know, you weren't mid-proposal and then your phone buzzed with 10 different emails and an investor or a trade or a
it's like
God knows what.
Yeah. The schedules. The football
match of the round,
Match of the round.
Oh, God. Oh, it's a miracle,
man,
that didn't interrupt proceedings, but I'm glad I did.
New South Wales player of the week,
yeah.
Was it To'o or Luai?
Some niche references for the rugby league fans of Sydney and Australia, but it seemed to go very well,
it did. And then, you know, as soon as we got down 2 feet on, back on home turf.
God's country.
Set back into the office and then, boom, wake up in the morning, Kyrie Irving's blasting us on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, great, I need another holiday.
Yeah, yeah. The reprieve never lasts long.
No, it does not.
It's funny. It's funny that, you know, I saw First Take pick it up as well.
A tweet from the account Basketball Forever pointed out this graphic posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, this week. Kyrie replied saying, pin this tweet and see what happens in the next few years. All right, we got Stephen A. and Mad Dog for this one. Stephen A., does Kyrie have to prove he can win without LeBron James?
Well, I mean,
it was everywhere.
I liked it.
It was on First Take, Bleacher. It was on basically every other sort of independent like publisher as well.
Yeah.
All of the big Twitter accounts. And then Kyrie obviously replied directly to it himself.
Pin this tweet. Yeah.
What else did he say?
Pin this tweet and see what happens in the next few years.
See, this is a win-win for us.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It doesn't matter how this goes. Either it plays out exactly how we think it's going to play out, and that is that, you know, Kyrie's at that stage of his career now where – he probably doesn't have another championship in him unless, you know, he's playing a, I could be wrong.
But Mavs probably not the way things are going right now.
No, it would be, it's hard to, his percentage of likelihood has decreased exponentially.
By the way, Kyrie's very welcome, or anyone is, to point out any inaccuracies in that post.
Of course.
At the point of the post.
But he didn't actually dispute its accuracy. He basically said.
Yeah, no, I know.
He basically said, yeah, you're right, but I got something cooking. And I'm like, okay, but you're 32 this season. And what, you've got something cooking in the next 2-3 years with that Mavs team? I mean, I'm not sure. And even if you did, and we could be completely wrong, right? Like, I don't even think we said anything as though, like, it's not like we said you won't achieve anything. We said since leaving LeBron, this is the chronology.
This is just what's occurred.
This is just what's occurred.
Yeah, no,
we
just
didn't pass comment. We didn't say anything else. And then he just projected all of his like insecurities onto that post. But if this results in some, you know, first of all, I'll happily pin it. I'll pin it because if you win a championship, I'll be able to go down in the history books and saying that I motivated you.
Yeah, it really will feel like
I was your sports psychologist.
Because you immediately forwarded it to me saying, oh, great. So now we're changing the course of NBA history.
It's just another day in the life, really. It's
obviously tongue in cheek there, not serious at all. But
yeah, no,
you know, I'm whatever happens, it'll be pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's there's no denying what we've laid out there.
Yeah,
and I mean, we've been really sort of, to be honest with you, even when we first started this podcast, not the one that we're currently doing, but the previous iteration.
Yeah, the OG one years ago,
we did our Kyrie Irving versus Kanye West comparison before any of the anti-Semitic stuff from either of them.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we've been really sort of documenting Kyrie's sort of career downfall.
I love how we...
For a really long time now.
I love how we drew that parallel in 2019. I'm fairly sure it was.
Was it? Or 18, was it?
We might. So we did a post game as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Like a 4 or 5 minute post game.
Yeah.
And we're talking 2018/19 era. And then they both, years later, they're like, I think it's time to talk about Jews.
Yeah, you know?
It's okay.
They're like, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's one of those things where I look at it like, well, we've been saying since before COVID even existed that Kyrie's career's in a little bit of like a downward spiral. And put it this way, he could have seen some of this chat at any point in his career. And imagine if he made this tweet replying to us saying what we said back in 2018, or pin this, watch out for the next few years. The next few years would have resulted in all of the shit that's just occurred, which is equally as just, you know, underwhelming in terms of like career performance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think saying it now, this late stage of his career, it's even higher risk. I think there's more chance of further failure than successes. But that's just me. You know, I'm happy to be wrong because I get a bet each way. Doesn't matter how this goes, I'm actually going to have a great time.
A sneaky bet each way. You know, we got the World Cup coming up and I've sort of said for years, do you remember way back when there was talk of Kyrie? He teased in the media like, am I going to play for Australia or am I going to play for America?
Oh my gosh.
It was very clear that that was never happening. But I...
Would have been amazing.
A lot... Well, it would have been interesting viewing.
Mm.
And I know that he's more talented than, you know, anyone we can really roll out there. But yeah. I was always so worried from a chemistry standpoint. Like, you know, the teams that are succeeding in FIBA, so much of it is chemistry-based. Those teams that...
System-based.
Yeah, those teams that have been together forever. Mm. Like, you know... Argentina, their golden era just finished up. They're incredible for so long.
Spain,
exactly. And that was how Australia ended up getting their first medal in Tokyo was just playing incredibly as a team, hustling. And yet Kyrie spectacular on offense. I just didn't want the attitude and the head case factor around the team. And I just feel as every passing year, like I felt even more validated in that opinion when Australia won a medal.
Mm.
And you could very well say it's just the beginning of more medals to come.
Hopefully.
I think there's at least a very good opportunity for them to do so. This upcoming World Cup, USA, they very may well win, but I don't think it's by any means a guarantee with the team that they're sending. And
no
remember,
way.
Previous World Cup 4 years ago, when they sent their not even B team, but C team, they finished seventh.
Mm.
Doesn't mean they'll finish seventh again, but they're not a lock by any means. I'm glad Kyrie's not in the fold. And it was just funny because, and I don't want this to turn into kicking Ben Simmons because.
Why not? It's my favorite pastime.
We can't do that every single episode.
I just want to say all your feelings that you were feeling about Kyrie, I used to get on my hands and knees and pray to the gods that Ben Simmons was going to play for Australia. And now, when there was those rumors that he might be a part of the training camp this year, I was on my hands and knees praying that he wouldn't. I was like, lock him out. I couldn't think of anything worse for the team.
And
big shift in power dynamics.
I mean, same thing with Kyrie, where everywhere is comes back to that post that he got mad about.
Yeah,
in reply to us, where everywhere he's gone since Cleveland, and I'd really think that when he was in Cleveland, it was before he became this really wacky dude with this bizarre way of thinking, and always thinking that he knows best, and he's not going to take any guidance or hear anything from anyone because he's already this mythical god in his mind. It was before then, and everything he's touched since, every team he's gone to has gone to shit. We did that graphic of him burning
things.
Every
team logo on fire.
You could have probably added the Australian logo to that as well, so
that's a mainstay. That's been one of our episode cover images.
Oh, true.
Yeah
So I'm looking forward to the World Cup. I don't know how many do people care about that in America?
I
think they're interested to see this Team USA team.
From a global perspective,
Yeah. I know our audience likes it. I always just wonder, I know the Americans love the Olympics, and then the World Cup, they always send their C team, and it's always a bit of a funny.
This team's funny. I think there's a lot of good pieces that gel together quite nicely.
You like a bit of Bobby Portis action?
No, but I do.
I mean, I still got some obviously very good players.
Yeah, you got your Jalen Brunson and your Anthony Edwards. I think this is Anthony Edwards' like opportunity to really have a breakout campaign.
Could be his team if he wanted it to be.
100%. And then he carries that into the NBA season. I used to look at like Melo, and his season following a USA campaign was always just amazing. He always was playing out of his skin. I think it's because he got into shape early and he was just, I don't know what it was, but he obviously is one of the best Team USA players to ever put on the jersey. And I think that translated well into the seasons, following that.
Yeah.
We could have that. That's a much needed, uptick for some of those guys on that team. They really need that. There's not one guy on this team that doesn't need their team to be super successful this season.
Yeah.
So any boost that they can get is, a much needed one.
Yeah, it whips these guys into form for sure. It has benefited even guys who've just trained or they've played in the select squad often go on to have really good NBA seasons. So I think good on the guys who are playing, and they'll benefit.
It's great for a Reeves as well because, he's so talented. Like just his growth this season. I mean, at the beginning of this season, like the season we just had, you would have thought that he was nothing more than a rotation player, surely, even just looking at him.
That was
your first impression. Then even when he would play, maybe he gets a bucket. Watching him transition from that to becoming a guy that would give you 20 a night with the right amount of minutes on that Lakers team is mind-boggling. And now watching what he just did in the exhibition game or the warm-up game against who they play today?
Played Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on fire to start that first half. Like, no, this is a player like him. I think this will be huge for the upcoming Lakers season.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
But I want to try something out. Bit of a new format for this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard of blind ranking before?
No.
So
you teased it a little bit to me before, but yeah. No, I had not.
So it's a format that I've been seeing going around, and people do it in different ways. And I thought it would be really, really fun and interesting to do it for NBA. Bit of a playoff on some of like the TikTok, Snapchat filters, and all the rest. Yeah. Basically, how this works is you get your rankings 1 through 5, empty slots, empty positions. And there's been for us randomly generated names of players, 5. We do it in blocks of 5. I read them out to you 1 by 1, and you have to be able to live on the go without knowing what the rest of the names are going to look like, 1 by 1, rank them.
Yeah.
So we'll give you a name, and then you'll have to try and guess where he's going to go in your 1 through 5. And then by the end of the 5, we take a look at it, work out whether you've passed or failed.
Yeah.
You basically, if it's sort of like up for debate or kind of questionable, you have to put forward your case on why you think it's an acceptable 1 for 5, unless you just concede straight off the bat. And then, yeah, we'll just see how many we can get right.
Yeah.
Who's the most seasoned pro at this? Bit of a new format, bit of, you know, a little bit of something different just to test.
And it's a pretty random selection of players. So you have...
I got completely random
players. If you're the one guessing, you have no idea.
No idea.
The next 4 guys could be all amazing, or they could be all pretty terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't know the 5 random ones that I have, and I don't know your 5 random ones, and we've got a couple of different blocks of these. So we'll have a run at it, and we'll see who emerges victorious.
And if a player is... because it's past and present players, right? So if it's a retired player, do we just assume in their prime?
I think we should just assume all of these players...
the best version that
has ever been. In their prime.
Yeah.
In their prime. Or we're talking about them like in terms of like career. If it's, you know, who had the better all-time player, basically.
Yeah,
from a holistic standpoint.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I'll fire some at you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we got our top 5. Let's. Oh, we'll kick off the blind ranking.
Okay. See how this goes, and it's pretty fairly rapid fire, right? So, Austin Reeves. Oh, Speak of the devil.
He's going to have to go at my 5th.
Okay. Kemba.
Kemba Walker.
In his prime.
He's going to go at my 2nd.
Okay. I'm just making note of what you're actually saying. Melo. Carmelo.
Anthony. He's going to go at my number 1.
Okay. Russ.
My number 3.
Because you've used 2 on Kemba. And then the last one is Bam.
My number 4. Oh.
Okay.
That's so pretty good.
To recap, we got Melo at 1, Kemba at 2, Russ at 3. And I guess we're talking prime Russ / what he's achieved over his career. So you've got Melo, then Kemba, then Russ, then Reeves. Then Bam, then Reeves. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty
it's
good.
Not, as bad as the test run we had where you had to slot Anthony Bennett in at number one.
You know what?
Ahead of some really good players. And then you were arguing to the entire office, yeah, yeah, that man was a beast in high school. You should have seen him.
You know what? I'm backing it.
You're backing this?
I'm backing it. I think Kemba Walker, and I'm going to get flamed for this, but I'm backing my top five there. And I'll say that, you know, Russell Westbrook I think when we look at him from like the totality of what was achieved during that run, and I'm not saying that Kemba Walker's achieved much different, but they're both like equally as electrifying players at the time. And,
you know, it's funny as well because famously one of the things that fires up people the most in the comments is Russ stuff.
No. Oh. It's like, give me a pass or a fail for this league? We hate Russell Westbrook. We don't think that we think that he's like a cancer to his team, right?
But he's such a hard one to sum up when you look over his whole career because the averaging a triple-double, yes, I think that was a bit overblown, but he still did it. It's not nothing.
All right.
And the MVP and all of that. But you know what? To be fair, I don't actually think this is terrible because when we did a test run of this, like I said, it was a disaster. So it's not like you've got Austin Reeves being better than Melo.
Damn.
That was I think it's like not perfect, but it's not a disaster either. And it easily can be a disaster in this game.
Maybe we'll call that like a void. I don't know. Oh man, I'm so disappointed. I got close, but
do you reckon you get? I actually can't remember the original scoring system now, but I was going to say, should you get plus like 1 point if it's good,
yeah,
a negative if it's shocking and this is a void?
Yeah, okay.
So if Anthony Bennett's your number one, it's definitely a negative one, but this is just like void, just zero. You stay on zero.
We'll just say we'll stay on zero for this one.
Yeah.
We'll say this is neither a pass nor a fail.
I think that's fair. Like it's...
All right.
It's not the worst thing that anyone's ever said.
Yeah.
Like there's still 20 things that
you could have done worse.
Nick Wright or someone like that has said that's worse.
All right. Let me give you one.
Okay, yeah.
We'll pick up the pace now that we've kind of got the system under our belt.
Well, yeah. Speak for yourself, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. JJ Redick. Oh.
4.
All right, I'm just going to put that down. All right. Derrick Rose.
Oh, God, I have... it's so hard to know. I got to be quick though, right? Maybe 2.
Okay, very good. Lamar Odom.
3.
Kevin Love.
Oh, you take a big risk here. And wait, so who's 2?
You got Derrick Rose.
I've already cooked myself, I reckon. I'm going to put Love at 5 and hope that there's someone good for number 1.
Oh. Okay. Jordan Clarkson. Cooked it. So your 1 through 5 for that was Jordan Clarkson ranked number 1, Derrick Rose number 2, Lamar Odom number 3. JJ Redick, number 4. Kevin Love.
Oh, this is all over.
Number 5.
This is a negative one.
This is a fail.
Yeah,
this is a huge fail. I mean, maybe our Philippines audience will agree.
Well, I was going to say.
That's a plus for
I was going to pretend that I thought this was just who gets us the most engagement. And in which case, it's pretty much Jordan Clarkson, the absolute GOAT.
That's tough.
That many Philippines fans. But yeah, that's rough. So you're on 0. I'm on -1.
Yeah. Okay. Hit me.
All right. Halliburton.
2.
Ray Allen.
1.
Jeff Teague.
Ooh. 4.
Interesting. Al Jefferson.
Oh, 3.
And Jeff Green.
5.
So he's 5. That is exactly how I drew it up.
Really?
That was my order. Yeah.
That's a point.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a tough one. That was
because you always feel funny putting someone who's like good but not great number 1, but it paid off there because the rest of the guys were pretty random.
Mm. That was I had to play my cards very carefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a bit open for interpretation for a bit there. And when, but okay, I've got this one. This one you're going to love.
Okay. That doesn't sound good.
Lock in, boys.
Yeah.
Number one. Sorry. I won't say numbers. That ruins it. These are just the random names.
Yeah.
Herb Jones.
CG stitched
you're
me up.
You're getting clapped.
Where is he?
Oh, what a stitch up. Four.
Okay. Cade Cunningham.
Ooh. Two.
Okay. That's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, I can. I think that's safe. That's safe. Jordan Poole.
Ooh, maybe he has to be three based on the framework that I've. Yeah.
Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges. Oh, damn it. That's a bit annoying. Wait, what have I got? So I always forget so halfway
got,
through.
You've got Cade at number two, Jordan Poole at number three, Herb at number four. So you got one and
damn
five
it,
free.
I kind of. This is already going to not be perfect, but I think Bridges has to be five.
Okay. And then.
Come on.
Drew Holiday.
Oh, I was hoping for better, but he has to be one.
That's not bad. That's.
It's not as cooked as the other one.
It's not as cooked as the other one.
It's a little bit cooked.
Is it a pass? Is it like, sorry, is it a zero or are we thinking that's a minus one? My instinct was to give it a zero, but then I'm wondering.
Do you want to just recap it real quick?
So you've got number one is Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Two, Cade. Three, Poole. Actually, four, Herb. Five, Mikal Bridges.
I wish Herb was last. I wish Bridges wasn't last.
Do you think that Bridges, I honestly think Mikal Bridges is like the second, should be number two there.
Yeah. God.
It's probably a fail on that basis.
Yeah.
Had he have been a three or a four, I would have given you a zero.
I can't really come up with a good defense.
Yeah. That's a tough one. All right. I know you're going to drop some heat on me here, but I'm ready.
Okay. So we got two more each.
Yep.
All right. Jamal Crawford.
He's going to be three.
Okay. Joel Embiid.
He's going to be one. Got to be.
Joakim Noah.
That's tough. Joakim Noah in his prime. In his prime, he was a runner-up MVP. And he was Defensive Player of the Year. I reckon that's almost got to be number. And but is it a better career than Crawford? Crawford's only ever been a six man. And whilst he is the best six man, he was never, I think, Joakim too.
Paul George.
Oh! Fuck. Paul George is four.
You're about to be in a world of pain. Oh. Kobe Bryant.
Oh, no.
This one was a real stitch-up.
Oh, my gosh. That was, what in the sweet CG is that?
That's brutal.
Oh.
I definitely, when I heard Embiid, I would have said, what are the odds there's going to be someone that you'd put above? In the end, Paul George is in there. Kobe's in there. It has to be negative one.
I was off to such a good start. Because I could have gotten this away. Joakim's tricky.
This is why this game's funny as well, because it's like, you know, you really think and you're like, yeah, I'll just be very careful and measured about this. I'll put Crawford at three or play, and then it just goes off the rails out of your control.
So bad.
Yeah.
All right, that's a minus one. That's a minus one for that round. All right, so score update. I went zero to one, back down to zero.
Yeah.
You're currently on negative two. So this is redemption round for you.
Yeah, I'm in.
You need to turn this around.
Yeah.
All right.
If I don't win this, I'm cooked.
All right. This is good, this one.
Good for who?
You decide. Roy Hibbert.
Oh. God. Because he was
an all-star.
Before he became extinct, before his type of big man became extinct. God. I don't know if it's just a boring, safe pick, but I'm going to say three.
Hibbert at three. Nash Steve Nash.
Whoa. Two.
Pau Gasol.
Okay. Only because I feel like CG knows every player who's ever lived, including the really random ones, and that I'm just going to risk it and say Pau one, and there's going to be two random blokes.
The next name, Kawhi Leonard.
So I'm losing every single one of these. I'm negative one all round. So what, I've only got four and five open, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Try and get this one right. Try and see if you can get the last two in the correct order at least.
Because
just salvage something here.
Oh, because I think I had clearly in my mind there was at least one or two of these. You know, you had that one with like Jefferson, Teague, and Green. It was just all these randoms.
Mm.
Oh, surely he hasn't put yet another. There's so many good players already been said. I think Kawhi four and someone, please, in five.
Chris Paul.
Since when?
You win that.
Since when are there
It was Chris Paul's worse than Kawhi. Oh, as a career.
Oh, but, yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one. No.
Well, yeah, he's got a. It's not
finals MVP.
If you've got a ring, got,
yeah,
yeah.
All right, I'm going to chalk that up as a negative one, just straight off the bat. I don't think we need to discuss it further.
Oh God, this has been a disaster for me.
Don't worry, anything could happen here.
So I've got negative one in all three of mine so far,
yeah, and we're doing minus three, and I'm sitting at zero.
Yeah, I mean, zero looking pretty healthy, actually.
Mm.
All right, so last one for you.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton.
This is really tough.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I need to make a good move here. I think I can get away. All right, I'm going to go big leap here and say DeAndre Ayton, four.
Okay. You're thinking of the star-studded one that we...
I'm just thinking about it. Eight and four.
Tyson Chandler.
Okay.
New Orleans Tyson Chandler was a weapon.
He's a defensive player of the year in New York. He helped win a championship. He was one of the most important
of Dallas.
Defensive anchors for Dallas.
Mm.
Double-double machine. I'll go Tyson Chandler prime. That's got to be a... I'll go two.
Okay.
I'll go two.
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams, that's a three.
SGA.
That's a one.
Prime Deron Williams. It was looking so good until...
Fuck.
It was looking so good.
So he's my fifth.
Yeah.
That's almost not bad.
Yeah.
Because... Deron Williams is like a... You could make the case that my list is still correct, like looking at it from like a career.
Deron Williams, yeah, just doesn't have the longevity.
No.
Does he? He
cobbled together a couple of good seasons.
Well, DeAndre Ayton hasn't got longevity behind him now.
But he was a top draft pick that's been to the NBA Finals. Like... You know, you can...
He's never been considered... I mean, Deron Williams was arguably the best at his position for a good few years there.
Okay.
I mean, we always said Chris Paul, but...
So you would reverse them.
Yeah.
You're four and five, get switched, and then I'm still happy with that list. Lou Williams had one of the best six-man careers of any player ever.
I hate the six-man thing, though.
Even not as a six-man.
Yeah. So if you could have Lou Williams or... At his absolute best, or DeAndre Ayton at his absolute best.
Wait, or Deron Williams, do you mean?
Oh, we've got Lou ahead of Ayton.
Yeah, I would take Lou Williams at his absolute best against ahead of DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, actually, Ayton drives me crazy. So.
Yeah, he drives me crazy.
Yeah,
I think that's actually completely fair.
Do we agree that it's not atrocious, but you can't have Deron Williams last as well? So maybe it's
can't
just-
have him last. But I would honestly make the argument that I would put him second last for having such a... How many players...
I reckon we're forgetting how good Deron Williams
of course,
was when he was at his best.
For a few seasons in Utah, right?
It was more than one or two.
How many was it really? I mean, don't get me wrong. Deron Williams was nice with it, but I mean, are we sort of romanticizing
what he
achieved?
I do remember he was pretty cooked by the age of 30.
So we had that
five all-star seasons.
Five?
Yep.
Three?
No, definitely five. Basketball reference.
What years?
from 2009 to 10 through to 11. Oh, that's 1 year. They break it up by team. My apologies.
He's had three.
Oh, fuck. I really thought it was five.
So he's a three-time All-Star that only averaged above 20 points per game.
Oh.
Twice.
Damn it.
In his whole career.
You know why it felt so long?
I don't know.
It felt so long because I was arguing with everyone like in my class and stuff back in the day, as I know you were.
So was I. That Chris Paul was better?
That Chris Paul was better. And because that was such a painful debate for me to have all the time,
so
I felt like that was 10 years of my life. And it was actually two or three.
Yeah. The fun fact is that you were only doing that for four seasons, tops.
And he's only an All-Star for, yeah, God.
Even in his best season, he only played 53 games. I am going to get third-party markings on this ladder. I'll concede that Deron Williams is not number five on that list. But is he?
Just seems funny to have Tyson Chandler two.
Tyson Chandler won a chip.
Williams five. Oh, fuck. I'm just...
Williams three, 8-4. And number one, SGA, he was always going to be the number one.
He should be number one. Darren five just feels weird, but then it's like if you're playing the career achievement and how long were you at the top?
I don't know if you, like, are you allowed to just wake up and play like trash one day and not be the worst on the list?
One day he woke up and decided he was 40 years old when he was actually 29.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. Who cares? I've already lost. I'm already on negative three or something.
That was a good format, though.
Do I still have one more to go to? Or have we done it all?
You do have one more.
Oh, I may as well. I've already dug my grave. I'll just dig it a little deeper.
All right. Here we go.
What's the point climbing out if I get buried alive?
Don't worry. Okay. here's a way to salvage this. I'm going to give you this is an all or nothing.
Oh, great. A pity.
This is an all or nothing.
I don't want your pity.
If you get this, I will get us both back to, it's a draw if you get this one.
Just to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Or are you saying this one's particularly hard?
This one's also particularly difficult by the looks of it.
Okay.
All right. First one. Jason Tatum.
Oh, that's such an interesting one as well. There's a wide range of a lot of people. I feel like they like Tatum more than I do, but fuck. I just have no idea if it's going to be followed by a run of good guys or bad guys, but
quick game's a good game.
Three.
Tatum. Joe Johnson.
Oh, four.
Not bad. Kyrie Irving.
Two.
Rajon Rondo.
Well, he can't go at one, so I've got to put him at five. Give me someone good. Don't be a dickhead.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Yes, thank you. That's not too bad.
That's a pass. I actually think that's a pass.
Oh, thank you.
Number one, Dirk, Irving, Tatum, Johnson, Rondo. You could probably reverse Rondo and Johnson.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's, you know,
for the day I've had, I'll take that.
That's a dub in my book. I'll call that even Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Come on. That's
I'm not going home 0-4 at least.
Yeah. Man, don't you reckon we should do like a format like this, but in like mobile game?
Yeah.
Like could be reviewed by other people. I honestly think that would be the funnest app.
Let's put out another app.
All right. It's going to be the next one after Vogue, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get App Master Tristan onto that.
Oh, nice. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that is good. I'm drained after that. After taking three consecutive L's.
That was a wild journey.
Yeah, that was a lot of stress just for a big L for me, but that's all right.
Redemption win. Redemption win, and that's all that matters.
Yep, cool. All right, well, that was a good little bit of fun while there's absolutely nothing happening.
Yeah.
Thank God for the World Cup.
Thank God for the World Cup. Bring it on, 25th of August.
Yeah, can't wait. Mm. Join us again next week. We'll come up with something fun, even if there's absolutely nothing happening in the basketball world. There'll be something happening on the BF podcast.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys then.